在线英语听力室 ,teamroom.com, 欢迎您。
Usually fill the apartments of a palace. The cities which signalize a forward zeal by the voluntary destruction of their temples were distinguished by municipal privileges and rewarded with popular donatives. The new capital of the East gloried in the singular advantage that Constantinople was never profaned by the worship of idols.As the lower ranks of society are governed by imitation, the conversion of those who possessed any eminence of birth, of power, or of riches was soon followed by dependent multitudes. The salvation of the common people was purchased at an easy rate, if it be true that in 1 year 12,000 men were baptized at Rome, besides a proportionable number of women and children, and that a white garment with 20 pieces of goldhad been promised by the emperor to every convert.
Although Julian reigned as emperor for just 2 years, between AD 361 and AD 363, Gibbon devotes no fewer than 3 chapters to this personality, for whom he evinces a profound respect. The Caesar of Gaul takes pride of place within Gibbon's narrative.
While the Romans languished under the ignominious tyranny of eunuchs and bishops, the praises of Julian were repeated with transport in every part of the empire,except in the palace of Constantius. The barbarians of Germany had felt and still dreaded the arms of the young Caesar. His soldiers were the companions of his victory. The grateful provincials enjoyed the blessings of his reign, but the favorites who had opposed his elevation were offended by his virtues, and they justly considered the friend of the people as the enemy of the court. As long as the fame of Julian was doubtful,The buffoons of the palace, who were skilled in the language of satire, tried the efficacy of those arts which they had so often practiced with success. They easily discovered that his simplicity was not exempt from affectation. The ridiculous epithets of an hairy savage, of an ape invested with a purple, were applied to the dress and person of the philosophic warrior. And his modest dispatches were stigmatized as the vain and elaborate fictions of a loquacious Greek,a speculative soldier who had studied the art of war amidst the groves of the academy. The voice of malicious folly was at length silenced by the shouts of victory. The conqueror of the Franks and Alemanni could no longer be painted as an object of contempt, and the monarch himself was meanly ambitious of stealing from his lieutenant the honorable reward of his labors. In the letters crowned with laurel,which, according to ancient custom, were addressed to the provinces, the name of Julian was omitted. Constantius had made his dispositions in person. He had signalized his valor in the foremost ranks. His military conduct had secured the victory, and the captive king of the barbarians was presented to him on the field of battle, from which he was at that time distant above 40 days' journey.So extravagant a fable was incapable, however, of deceiving the public credulity, or even of satisfying the pride of the emperor himself. Secretly conscious that the applause and favor of the Romans accompanied the rising fortunes of Julian, his discontented mind was prepared to receive the subtle poison of those artful sycophants who colored their mischievous designs with the fairest appearances of truth and candor. Instead of depreciating the merits of Julian,They acknowledged and even exaggerated his popular fame, superior talents, and important services.
The public esteem for the young Julian could not fail to annoy and alarm